All right, still here in Zurich with the European Gold Forum. We're going to continue down the path talking to some royalty companies and welcoming a new company, first time ever on Mining Stock Daily, and that is Metalla Royalty and Streaming. They do trade on the venture with the symbol MTA and on the NYSE American with that same symbol. It's a transformational year. They're just coming off the acquisition of Nova Royalty, which closed back in December, so 2024 looks to be just an incredible year as it's a basically a brand new company after that merger. Happy to welcome in CEO and President, Mr. Brett Heath. Brett, welcome.
Thanks, Jerry. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So kind of give us a lay of the land here. It's kind of 2024, all guns a-blazing. Not only did you come out with that acquisition of Novo, you also have an incredible higher margins in the precious metals prices as we've seen the last couple of weeks. I mean, this is looking to be pretty good Q1 into Q2 for you.
Yeah, so we're excited about the gold breakout. I mean, we believe we've seen a very, very strong break, and this is what we've been waiting for after a 12-year consolidation in the gold market, which a symptom of that was a tough equity market for quite a bit. We're starting to see that recover, albeit not even remotely close to the extent as we would be expecting. But the portfolio is positioned very, very well. And we built it for this. We built this portfolio and this company to really give shareholders exposure and really the best levered opportunity to capitalize on kind of that next gold cycle. Mm-hmm. When you're building a royalty company, you have to take a very long-term view. Mining assets, they don't turn on overnight. And the really high quality assets are difficult to get. So you need to have a level of patience. You need to have a long-term view. That's what we did when we built Metalla. We've got over 102 royalties now in the portfolio. Some of the best on the copper development and on the gold development. Excuse me. And also on silver. And we bought and paid for all of that when things were pretty tough. Over the last 7 years. And so we got a lot of those assets at very, very attractive prices. And now we're moving into this next cycle. We're seeing all of these different assets being developed and put towards production, drilled. We've got three more assets coming online this year in production, three new producing assets this year. That's royalty on Tocantinzinho, which is G Mining's new development asset. We've got a 0.75% over the whole property. It's going to be about a 200,000 ounce producer and over, right around 2 million ounce deposit, lots of exploration upside. We've got a royalty over Amalgamated Kirkland that's expected to be in production the second half of this year. That's Agnico Eagle as the operator. And also on Côté and Gosselin, of which Côté just poured their first bar of gold just last week. Mm-hmm. So big, big de-risking event for that asset. But the real kicker there is Gosselin. And our royalty on Gosselin, which is 1.35%, I believe is going to be our Cortez, our Malartic, our Detour. When you look at the royalty industry, I mean, typically there are very, very few of these really high-quality Tier 1 assets. Right. And they're impossible to buy. So you have to, as a smaller company, you have to really position yourself in front of that, and you do that by making smart acquisitions. And that's what we went out to do. And every single acquisition we made, every royalty that we bought over the last 7 years, we look for specific characteristics of these types of properties. And with Gosselin, we bought that royalty when it was pre-resource. That was about 3.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Fast forward till today, it's got 7.4 million ounces. It looks like it's going well over 10. IAMGOLD has come out and already said that they expect it to get of similar size as Côté, which is about 14 million ounces in total resources. So we're pretty excited about it. We're pretty excited about that. We're pretty excited about the rest of the portfolio. Again, in a market that's changed quite a bit with a much higher level or cost of capital for specifically junior companies and mid-tier companies, having all of this growth bought and paid for in a rising metal price environment, it's much more difficult to go out and try to buy these things when things are in favor.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we think we're positioned very, very well. And we're excited to see what happens.
Kind of summarize the last couple of years for me and the listeners as, you know, managing a royalty company. I mean, given what the market did, I mean, the silver lining is it provided companies like Metallic incredible opportunities to go out and pursue some of those acquisitions. And you didn't just go after, you know, single asset type of royalties. You actually acquired another royalty company and did some consolidation in that space. You know, talk about the timing of that. What did the last 2 years present to you? Why the timing of that merger with Nova, and really how does this set you up for, you know, we could all say in December of 2023, we all thought the gold price was going to rise. It was just a matter of when does it, right? But the timing was just absolutely fortuitous in hindsight.
Well, I mean, look, the merger with Nova made a lot of sense from a few different reasons. One in particular was really copper, kind of, you know, I would say has kind of come into its own from the base metal complex. It's become a very, very strategic metal. Investor sentiment towards that metal, we believe, is going to remain very, very strong over the next decade or two. And gold investors in particular, you know, on the back of, you know, obviously Mark Bristow and other big gold companies taking big positions in copper, have really kind of paved the way for investors to really embrace that exposure. Now, copper is only a minority part of our portfolio. It's about a third of the value of Metalla. So it's still largely dominated by gold and silver. But it also made sense from just an asset-based perspective, because these copper assets are they're tier one assets. And these things, once they get to production, even if you've got to wait 5 years, 6 years, 7 years for them to go into production, once they're in production, they give you staying power, because these things will produce for 50 plus years. And in the royalty business, what allows you to really scale your company is very small windows. And in order to be able to capitalize on those opportunities, you need to have significant cash flow that comes through not only in the bull markets, but also the bear markets. And having royalties on assets that are multi-cycle assets gives you that ability. And so that was just another long-term view for Metalla. As we look out in the next 5 or 10 years, you know, we see that is something that I think will really pay a lot of dividends for the company in the future.
Yeah. What about the opportunities that you were presented with in the last 2 years? I mean, the market was, from many people's standpoint, was absolutely brutal. But for royalty companies, that there were incredible opportunities. Where did you find yourself executing, you know, the best at? Where did you deploy your money besides that acquisition with Nova?
Well, I mean, when you look at, well, let me just take a step back.
Sure.
We did 32 transactions over 7 years.
Yeah.
So we did a lot of deals.
You weren't slouching off.
I believe it was the most, from a transaction perspective, it was the most out of any other public or private royalty company over that period of time. I would argue that the transactions that we completed over the last 3 years are probably the most important ones that we did, and the most value that I believe that we've generated for the actual underlying NAV per share of the business. And it's interesting because in the first 5 years, I mean, we performed great. Obviously, there was a lot of speculation in the market. Interest rates were down at zero. And we executed on the back of that, and the share price was up 14 times in 5 years. The execution of the business never changed, but the market changed quite a bit. And in the face of that, you know, the share price is you know, down significantly with the market. Now it's turning back around. But the real focus is on the business. And you know, when you're managing these companies, there's always going to be these upswings and downswings. And really the critical part is continuing to grow the business, make sure you're generating that value for shareholders. And that value, sometimes you have to be a little bit patient with. And buying assets in development wasn't a popular thing to do over the last 7 years. Investors, you know, constantly demanded cash flow today. But when you're going out and you're buying cash flow today, typically it's very, very low quality cash flow. Mm-hmm. And it's unsustainable. And you're also probably paying too much money for it.
Yeah.
So what we're seeing now is by being patient, taking that long-term view and buying those development assets, now we're getting very, very high quality cash flow that's turning on today. And guess what? It's going to turn on in 2025, in 2026, in 2027, and so forth. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see our gold equivalent production go from around 4,000 ounces, which what it was in 2023, up to about 15,000 ounces over the next 5 years annually. And we see that continuing to grow. Again, everything bought and paid for, going upwards of 30,000 gold equivalent ounces annually over the next 10 years. And this is supported by some of the biggest mining companies, the Barricks, the Techs, the Newmonts, the Agnico Eagles. These are the companies that are building these assets, the First Quantums.
You're right.
So it gives you a high level of comfort when the assets that you have exposure to are in the most competent hands. And it's in hands of companies that know how to build these mines, that have access to capital. Because these are big projects, and it's really right. difficult to build a mine. Very difficult.
Let me ask you, if you were to go shopping, well, I assume you're always shopping, but if you're shopping now, and obviously this market has drastically changed over the last 2 months, how quickly has the premium for those deals risen since, say, February or even March? And how meaningful every deal you've gotten done in the last year just made that so much more, easier to swallow, I guess. You know, because I'm sure if you go out shopping right now, it's like you'd be paying a lot more money for the same deal than you were 6 months ago.
Well, what I would say is that in the royalty business, if you have, let's say, like a baseline,
mm-hmm.
Valuations on new transactions have actually come down,
mm-hmm.
Which is very surprising.
Hmm.
That being said, with a higher gold price, they're still more expensive because the multiples have come down. Like you can buy these assets at more attractive, more reasonable multiples.
Mm-hmm.
But now everyone's putting in $2,100, $2,200 gold into their models, and even though the multiple comes down, the price is actually a lot higher. And when we look back at the Nova transaction, we bought that when copper was $3.50 and we were using $3.20 as a long-term copper price to understand the value of those royalties. Now copper is over $4. We think copper could easily go to $5. And the leverage that you get in there is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
When you punch $5 into the model, and it's just like, well, we've never seen a deal like this before. So there's a lot of upside that's inherently built in, and a lot of that value is levered off the price. And so even though not all of that is coming out of the ground today. Like it is and clearly going to come out of the ground, and it's going to consistently grow over the next 5, over the next 10 years. And so that's, as we get into this next commodity cycle, and it's not just gold that's going up.
Right.
Copper's going up, oil's going up.
See, everything going up.
All the commodities are going up. You look at the Bloomberg Commodity Index, that's rising into an uptrend. You look at the agricultural commodities, those are rising. So we want to have that broad exposure when it comes to metals, which is what we focus on. We focus on three metals. We're not diversified, yeah, buying all kinds of different things that you can't keep track of. Three metals, gold and silver. And we added copper last year because we believe it's going to be very strategic in the future. And copper is by far the most difficult metal, mm-hmm, to get exposure to in the royalty business. Mm-hmm. And in one transaction, we were able to combine the best of the best on the gold development stuff and get exposure to all the copper we would ever need for our shareholders in one transaction. So we're excited to see kind of where that goes. Yeah. And it's exciting to see the market move.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to see the market where it is today, and it's just the investor participants don't believe it.
There's still a lot of hesitation. Yeah. We should pick up this conversation like 6 months and see if that's changed, because I kind of feel like it might. I think this fall, during the next round of conference season, it might be a little bit more jubilant.
I think so. At some point, investors are going to come back in. I mean, if you look at any other commodity, any other sector, and you get this type of breakout move, I mean, this is like one of the strongest breakouts.
Oh yeah.
If you just throw a chart of gold and just erase gold and put it on the table and ask an investor if they want to invest in it, they're going to want it every single day, because it looks so strong. I mean, there's 12, 13 years of consolidated energy that's just broke out.
Yeah.
And the valuations across the board in the sector are relative to the gold price still basically at their lows. I mean, they're up a little bit, but when you factor in the real value or the intrinsic value based on the gold price, or I mean, who knows where it goes on this run, but it's going higher. At some point investors will take effect.
They're going to take notice. Yeah. They're going to take notice. All right.
Yeah.
Brett, thanks so much for the introduction. Nice to meet you. We're going to pick this up again in a few months and see how things are going in the metal sector and what that means for your margins as well. That's your intro and update for Metalla Royalty and Streaming, everybody. They do trade on the Venture and the NYSE American with the symbol MTA. Brett Hutt, enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, Trevor. Thanks for having me.
The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.